Nice to be back in here. Last couple of weeks I've been in kids' church, you would have noticed, wearing the green shirt. They do amazing work out there, by the way. You should be really proud, church. Do phenomenal work in all those rooms. But it is lovely to be back here and sharing. We've been starting this series, or Ian started this series last week, called We Are. And this is a series that we wanted to do at the beginning of the year, where we explore what it means to be Alice Springs Baptist Church. Like, what are some of those things that make us who we are? And when we say that we are these things, it doesn't mean that every other church isn't these things. Of course not, right? But what it means is that there are certain kind of distinctives, practices, things that we want to be known for, that we want to embrace, that when you start participating in the life of this church, you'll stumble across very, very quickly, because they don't remain hidden in the background. They're up front. They're in how we preach, they're in how we engage, they're in how we love, they're in how we relate to each other. And I was thinking about this we are, and today we're particularly going to be talking about this we are on mission every day. And I was reminded that it was about 10 years ago now that this phrase on mission every day kind of came to my attention in relation to this specific church. At the time, I was working at a church down in Melbourne, and Meegs and I had been exploring the possibility of maybe coming up here to Alice, but at the time, there wasn't kind of an opportunity, and we were okay with that, you know, God's timing and all that jazz. I'd had a couple of conversations with a few people who had been here, but what I learnt as I kind of re-engaged after a little while was that my contacts who I'd made here had finished up, and there was a little bit of, you know, a little bit of tension. Things weren't all that easy for some time. I'm seeing some nodding faces. Maybe I'm being a little gentle. But I wasn't here, so I'm not going to judge. But out of this tension, out of this change, came a lot of conversations, a lot of collective discernment, a lot of meetings, from what I heard. And what emerged from these meetings, as this church, its people, kind of discovered who are we as a church, this phrase emerged: we want to be a people on mission every day. And I remember that because it was one of the phrases that gave us the great green light to say, yeah, this is where God wants Meegs and I to be. Because prior to that, we'd had a little bit of time where there had been some red flags. We're like, we're not going up if these things don't change. And yet when we heard that language, on mission every day, we're like, that is literally what Meegs and I have been talking about for the past 4 years. Like, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're passionate about. Not some sort of faith that is kind of a part of our lives or is done in addition to our lives, but is integrated into our lives, like every day. And I suppose I take this moment to point out that there's kind of two every days, right? There's every gap day, which is the things we do every day. Every day I brush my teeth. Every day I check my phone. Every day I might make a coffee or drive to work. Whatever your thing you do every day. But I'm not going to come up and say, well, you know, I wouldn't introduce myself as a toothbrushing person, right? But even though I do that every day, I'm not be like, hey, I'm Gavin, I'm a toothbrushing person. You know, that's kind of the rhythms and the practices that you have. But then there's this no gap every day, which you can see up there, which is much more to do with a posture of living. You know, every day I am a parent, even when I'm at work. Every day there's this sense in which I want to have this posture of hospitality, and it doesn't matter what context it is, I want to try and express that, even if it doesn't always work out. There are things that we do every gap day, and then there is this desire to be something every day. You know, do you pray every day, or do you live prayerfully? That's the difference between every day and every day. So to avoid confusion, you might want to say, we want to be a people on mission every day, every day. Yeah, that clears everything up, doesn't it? Don't worry. I'll get into a little bit more detail, but this is really important because we use this phrase a lot. You know, everyone on mission every day, together on mission every day. And so here at ASBC, something you got to know if you haven't learned it yet is we celebrate an integrated faith. We celebrate a faith that weaves its way through every single part of life, not just the margins, not just the Sundays, but our vocations, whatever they may be, however we express love to our neighbor, you know, every conversation. We want faith and that core of trusting Jesus to be the thing that fuels every single one of those encounters. For here at ASBC, faith is not some sort of accessory, right? It's something that informs everything else. How we speak, how we love, how we give, how we discipline. And I think this is really important because there is a dynamic that even among churches, we need to actually challenge on a regular basis. Some of you may have heard this before. This might be new language to some of you. It's what's often called the sacred-secular divide. Basically, the sacred-secular divide, and you might have heard this or experienced this in churches or in Christian circles at one point or another. Basically, it's a pervasive belief that some parts or places and practices of life are important to God, while other parts aren't. And we might not say that explicitly, but that's actually how we sometimes operate. It's like, well, God enjoys, you know, worship through song, and he enjoys my prayers and that kind of stuff, but me taking out the bin, like, God's not interested in that. God's interested when I serve in ministry at youth on a Friday night, but is God just as interested in the ad hoc conversation I have with my work colleague who's having a tough time? You know? It's like we sometimes have this sense of, like, these things matter to God and these things don't. And yet what an integrated faith does, what an on-mission everyday faith does, it says, actually, you know what? All of it is God's. Every single conversation, every single moment, all of it is God's, and God has a desire and a purpose and a redemptive practice for every single place and person and practice in my life. You might be here and you might not feel like your work is all that spiritual right now. I want to challenge you to consider, where is God at work in that place? Sometimes we think of work as some sort of necessary evil. I do this work so I get money so I can give it to the stuff that God's actually interested in. Hey, I'm just saying, like, I've heard this before. I mean, no one would say it that clearly, right? But that's how it's sometimes lived out. Maybe you feel like food, while it is good to eat, is just a necessity, rather than thinking of it as, like, you know, when I eat food, like, there's actually some sort of God's presence blessing type thing that he wants me to experience in this. And so we don't want to just be talking about songs and lighting a candle or something that connects us with the divine. Those aren't bad things, of course. But I want us to think bigger. Where does my faith find expression in every breath, every place, every practice? Because this is where we're going to meet our text today, which I just think is an amazing story. I'm going to go through it once and then we're going to work through it slowly. This is a really cool story. Here in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, if you've got your Bible or your device, feel free to open it up and read it with me. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day, to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I want us to explore this story and ask the question, what does it look like to have on mission every day as our posture? Because this is what these guys, these disciples of Jesus, are doing. They are living this out. This is what on mission every day looks like. Because we want this to be a posture, not some sort of added extra. So often it's like, I just need to do more of something. And that's not what I want to talk about today. I don't want you to become more busy with one more thing to do because Gavin from the church said so. I want our faith to be something that seeps out, as disgusting as that image might be, into every part of our world. And this is what these guys were doing. I just want to note this. It says here at the beginning, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, you might initially read that and be like, oh, good, they're going to church, right? They are doing the Christian thing. Remember, those are the things that God really likes, right? Sacred stuff. But remember, these are Jewish men, and they are participating in not just a religious practice, but a cultural practice. I love the detail here. Just one day, not a special day, just a one day. They were going up to the temple courts at the time of prayer. This is normal, everyday routine. This is not some sort of special temple visit. They're not going out there to do specific mission. They are simply participating in the regular routine for a Jewish man, going to the temple at the right time on some day. They are going through their ordinary rhythms. Think right now, what is my ordinary rhythm? Going to school, going to work, trying to get the kids ready for school. What is my ordinary rhythm? This is what they are participating in right now. This wasn't especially religious in terms of a moment. And what I love about the setup for this particular story is it feels a little bit like what we have in the foyer. I don't know if you've crossed into our foyer recently. We have a big map of Alice Springs. And one of the things we call it our map of mission or mission map. And at one point, we'd love to do this again. And if you're new to our church, we'd invite you to do this. We've got these red dots that are stuck on various places around Alice Springs when we've asked people the question, hey, where's your kind of primary place of mission? Like, where is that place where you know that God has positioned you to be his person? And so sometimes it's homes, and sometimes it's work environments, and in some it's social groups, and some it's particular places. But the whole point is, it isn't like, this is now what I've got to do. I've got to go to my red dot this week, every week. It's, I know where I am. I know where I'm positioned, and God wants me to be missional there. And I love this, because this is expressed so much. I was I don't want to embarrass anyone. I'm not gonna embarrass anyone by saying their names. But I was literally at Bash Cricket, which is like cricket for our little boys on Friday afternoon. And I was standing there at the oval, and I looked across, and I saw one of our ASBCers having a really significant conversation with somebody I didn't know on the right. And I looked to my left, I saw another one from ASBC having a really deep pastoral conversation, which I knew, with someone on my left. I'm just standing here in the middle going, gee, I'm not feeling very pastoral, am I? But just as they were kind of having these conversations and I was kind of just overhearing, I was like, man, how cool is this? Like, I'm literally surrounded by people for whom mission is occurring right here at the cricket field. It's cool. Last year, I'm gonna call you out, Pamela, because I love you so much. Pamela was in hospital. She had your surgery with your leg, and she was in hospital for a while. But oh, amazing woman! As soon as she got mobile, didn't matter how long she was in hospital for, she was walking around praying for people. I went into the hospital one day, and she's like, "I've got to pray for my I think it was my niece or some family member down who just had a baby." And we walked up there, got up there in the wheelchair, and prayed for them. Then another sister came in, we're praying, and I was just like, Pamela, I love this. It's not like I'm in hospital because this has happened, so I better take a break. It's like, well, here I am. How convenient. I've got ready access to these people who desire prayer. And it was so inspiring. I didn't even pray. I was just the host, man. Man, it sounds like I'm just standing by cricket fields and just rolling people around the hospital. But this is what our church is like, right? People are doing this as they go about their ordinary rhythms, whether that's expected or not. And this is what I want to remind us all of as a church. On mission every day, on mission begins with faithful, ordinary habits. It begins with faithful, ordinary habits where we suddenly recognize that the places that we are, God cares about. The people we engage with, not on a Sunday, though he cares about them too, are people he loves and wants to use us for. And so often ministry and mission doesn't actually begin with disruption. It begins with these faithful, ordinary habits where suddenly we see these people and these places differently. It's a beautiful thing. And that's exactly what Peter and John do. We're just doing our regular thing. But suddenly, something changes. We see this when Peter and John are about to enter. This man who was lame, asked them for money. Love this detail here. Verse 4, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." In some translations, it says he looked deeply at the man. He looked deeply. These kind of details in these stories really matter. It's easy to go, "Oh yeah, he looked at him." But no. The writer wants to express that something shifted here. They were going about their ordinary business and suddenly they looked deeply at this man. He looked straight at this man. Both of them did. Not one, but both of them suddenly paid attention to maybe what I would call the Spirit's prompting, right? The sense of going like, I need to bring my attention to this person because God is doing something here. It was, I reckon it was about August or October last year. And as you can probably tell, I'm pretty passionate about this On Mission Every Day stuff. And one of the things that, particularly as a pastor, sometimes I lament is the fact that I feel like I don't always get to go out to people who are doing the ordinary stuff throughout the week. In our church, we call that the scattered church, right? That's our word for it, the scattered church. People scattered all over Alice Springs on mission. And I'd been chatting about this with Ian, actually, the other pastor, and I kind of said, I'm struggling with my margin in my week. I've got lots to do, but I really want to make space for this scattered kind of community that we have so I can go out and visit some people. And so that was great. And then I spoke to my supervisor and ran that by him, and he was just like, just let God interrupt your world. And I'm like, yeah, sure, Andrew. Like I've got room for that. You know, I didn't say that, but that's what I was feeling, right? I'm too busy going to the temple every day at the right time. And yet I had this Tuesday, and for those of you who don't know, Tuesday is my day off, and I usually kind of protect it pretty heavily. And I had this Tuesday just after this conversation. I literally had the conversation on the Monday, on this Tuesday, where suddenly I was dragging my kind of four-year-old around at the time, and I met someone from ASBC at the post office, a guy who I just wouldn't have been able to contact in any other way, but I just happened to run into him. I'm like, oh, it's amazing. We can have this conversation. I thought, well, isn't that providential that I was able to have this conversation on a Tuesday just as I was going about dropping something off at the post office? Bundle Davey back into the car, and we head off to Bunnings because that's where you always go. And then I go to Bunnings, and I'm sitting at the playground, and Davey's having a play, and this person who I really needed to get in touch with, who I wasn't able to get in touch with, as in I tried, I knew there was a pastoral matter, and I struggled to get in touch with them. I actually thought that they were in a different state, right? I thought they were down in South Australia, literally wandered by the table I was sitting at. And I'm like, I'm not going to say their name, I'm like, you, what are you doing here? I've been trying to get in touch with you. I didn't even know you were here. And they said, look, I arrived yesterday. I'm literally only in Bunnings because I need to go to the toilet. Had this really significant conversation again on my Tuesday. I'm going, God, what's going on here? This is really interesting, right? And then, of course, I had another encounter. And this time it was in the Bunnings Cafe. I'm like, what's this person doing here? This person who I would have loved to have given some time to spend with them, to encourage them in their faith through their workplace. And they just happened to be in the car. I'm like, what are you doing here? You should be at work. They're like, yeah, I'm just taking a mental health day. And then we were able to have another conversation. And within the space of about 1 hour, I had three conversations that I don't think I could coordinate in 3 months. And I was like, and it was a real thing where God's just like, yeah, Gavin, about that whole making space for the scattered, what are you doing? This is about discovering where I am already at work and I'm already creating opportunities in the present. What you need to do is be attentive to the Spirit and look. And so I'm learning. I don't pretend I've mastered this. I'm still learning to have this posture that when I wander through those places that I know are familiar paths for people, cross Woolies, wherever it might be, rather than having my head down, I look up. And I wonder, I say a simple prayer. I'm like, actually, this isn't a prayer. This is the prayer. Holy Spirit, what do you want to bring to my attention today? Or who do you want to bring to my attention today? And it's just this shift in posture that I see in this. Peter and John looking deeply into this man's eyes say, all right, we're going to do something here. God wants to do something here. And I would encourage you maybe to pray this prayer. It's a bold prayer. It suddenly makes you kind of awake to your environment. What do you want to bring to my attention today? In work or in play or wherever it may be. Because this is the second thing we need to learn about being on mission, is that on mission requires more attentiveness, not necessarily more availability. And I know this church fairly well. You guys are pretty awesome. But availability is not our strong suit. Okay? Because so many people are so busy doing excellent things. And you got a posture of servant-heartedness, and that is a beautiful thing. But if you're anything like me, trying to squeeze in one more thing can be difficult. And so I want to encourage you to consider once again, on mission requires more attentiveness, not necessarily availability. This is what Peter and John do. They stop. They look him in the eye, and they say, look at me. Something's about to go down here. We're going to turn this moment into something more than ordinary, even though it sits within the ordinary. It's cool. It's really good. Continues, Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Now, you're going to see in verse 7 and verse 8 there, this is like, if you hadn't noticed, this is very, I am a disciple of Jesus-esque, right? Taking him by the right hand and lifting him up. This is, it's like actually a regular refrain in Jesus' own ministry when it comes to healing. And so they are imitating their rabbi Jesus in the way that they go about this posture. But what they do make really clear is the thing that you wanted or you thought you needed, I don't have, but I am willing to give you what I do have. And this is an important part when it comes to that posture of on mission every day. Because sometimes there is a temptation to wait until conditions are absolutely perfect before we feel like we can missionally engage. It's like, I need everything to be squared up. I need to be in a good state. I need to have all the resources at hand. I need to be fully informed before I have that conversation. And yet what I love about this is Peter's like, I know what you think you need, but I'm going to give you something else. An integrated faith doesn't wait for ideal conditions. Instead, God uses what we already have in our hands that is given in the name of Jesus. And of course, like there's echoes of the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000 in this. It's like, it's not like the ideal conditions is if we had 5,000 bits of fish and bread, right? That's the ideal conditions. But Jesus is like, no, there is a need right now. And so we're going to respond with what we have. Allow God to do the multiplication. Now, it may look like healing. It may look like multiplying food. But the point is that God can do far more with what we think is insignificant, right? God can do far more with that which we think is insignificant. I didn't have a second after that sentence. That was, I was like, sorry, I'm like, where's it going with that? We might think something is small, and yet God uses that and multiplies it in profound ways. Whether we are witnesses of it or not. And so I want to encourage you, particularly if you're sitting here and going, well, I don't know if I've got what it takes, whether I'm articulate enough to have that conversation. I mean, I know that person is in need, but they need this much. I can only offer this much. To be on mission offers what we have, not what we wish we had. And I don't know if Peter or John wishes they had silver or gold, but they were pretty clear to this guy. They're like, we're going to offer you what we do have. Because being on mission isn't about doing one more thing. It's about living with this transparent spirituality where our actions just flow out of us, a reflection of the divine in the ordinary places that God has called us. There's one more thing I want to pick up on before we spend some time kind of reflecting on this, because I actually want us to take a little bit of time in the service to personally reflect on this. I love that in verse 8, I'll go from verse 7, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts walking, jumping, and praising God. Honestly, when I read this text knowing it was coming up, this is the bit that jumped out to me the most. I had never noticed that he went with them into the temple courts. There's a lot of stories of Jesus doing healings and some people stick around and some people go. But I love the fact that in this story, he literally walks with them to the very ordinary place that they were originally going. They were going about their ordinary business. By the Spirit, I believe, they felt prompted to stop. Nevertheless, that was reflected in their actions. They gave attention to the person with need in their midst. They offered what they had, not what they maybe wished they had. And the response was this man joined them as they continued to go about their ordinary everyday business. This is a beautiful thing. Because suddenly, this man's story, we see in verse 9 and 10, becomes the evangelism. His story becomes the good news. And he's like, what you guys are onto, I'm like with you. I'm with you, right? I'm with you on this. And he's jumping for joy, and who wouldn't, right? Praising God, not praising Peter and John, praising God. Because it's not about us, is it? It's not about us. We just do our part in the ordinary, seeking to reflect the glory of God. And this is what I want to encourage you in, because some of you will experience this, but many of you won't, but I promise it can be true for you. That as you are on mission every day, and as the Holy Spirit prompts you to stop, and as you offer what you have, when people's lives are transformed by God, you're going to discover that they will come alongside you. They'll come alongside you. They'll want to look to you and your example as a guide, even broken guide, of what Jesus looks like. And I know here in Alice Springs, that is true. People you've had a conversation with at work, that maybe they haven't stepped foot into the church yet, and that's okay. But somehow, because of that care and concern and those words that are done with the essence of Jesus, they're listening deeper, they're looking at you, they're modeling you even in the ordinary places of life. Older people, colleagues, younger people. And it's not because we're doing one more thing to be a good Christian. It's because our faith matters and it just exudes from every part of life. That's my hope for each one of us. That's who we are as a church. We don't always get it right, but we try. And I know that I've been a witness, and I hope you have too. Not just here in Alice, but in communities across the territory, and through people who have been in Alice and then have been sent into different places all across Australia who carry this same essence. My faith is not an accessory. I'm someone on mission every day. So I want us to take a few moments now, let's say 2 minutes, just enough time to get uncomfortable. And I want us to consider, I don't have a slide for it, so you're going to, oh, wait a second, I've got a slide. Anyway, you know that one. But I don't have another slide. But I want us to consider these aspects of being on mission every day. So here are my questions. Where is that ordinary place, that ordinary rhythm that God wants to move you from thinking is secular to something that is spiritual? Take a moment to think of that yet first. Maybe you've identified that place. Maybe it's still stirring. But if you've identified that ordinary, now spiritual place in your mind, my question is, how are you going to pay greater attention in that place? God is already at work. How are you going to pay greater attention? Let's just consider that for a moment. Now, if you know that place, that spiritual place, if you have that posture of being alert, attentive, and awake, next ask this question. What do I have to offer? Not what I wish I had, but what do I actually have to offer? Time, wisdom, presence, insight. What is it for you? As your heart is challenged, or maybe your spirit settles on a place and a way and a something to offer, wherever it is that you've landed at this point, I want to pray a prayer over us as a church. So would you join me in this prayer? Holy Spirit, as we go into the ordinary rhythms of our week, make us faithful in what is before us. Open our eyes to see who you bring across our path. Slow us down enough to be attentive and not distracted. Give us the courage to offer what we have in the name of Jesus, trusting you to do only what you can do. And as people come alongside us, may their stories become good news for your glory and for their joy. Amen.